Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John chapter 11 and verse 39. John chapter 11, verse 39. John chapter 11, verse 39 reads this way. It says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house, Lord, knowing and being reminded that you are in our midst. So we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We do ask for the blessing of the filling and the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that we might understand you in a better way tonight. And Lord, that we might grow in your grace. And Lord, be found faithful when you return. So bless your word, bless your people tonight, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, If Thou Wouldest Believe, Thou Shouldest See the Glory of God. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now, I want to ask you this question. Is he talking to lost people or saved people? He's talking to saved people, and so we want to be reminded that we might miss out on the glory of God, and here's the truth, God does not want us to miss out on his glory on this side of eternity. So tonight, as we consider our text tonight, we want to look at 4 factors that will keep us from seeing the glory of God in our lives. 4 factors we want to consider tonight. And by the way, God will bring us to where we can see his glory if we're following him, right? God will bring us to that place, and that's what you're going to take notice of here of these disciples. They were following the Lord. They had some obstacles to overcome, and the 4 factors are this. Simply, our misinterpretation, that's the first factor that can cause us to miss the glory of God. And then 2, only God can give true comfort. We can't find comfort anywhere else. The world will try to offer you comfort. Friends might try to offer you comfort, and that's all well and good, but true comfort comes from God alone. And then the 3rd thought is the Lord's timing is always right. The Lord's time, right? We get a little bit impatient, and that can cause us to miss the glory of God if we're not resting and waiting upon the Lord. And so we don't want to get in front of him. And then the last thought will be our obstacles. And then, of course, in conclusion, we'll see the glory of God. So let's back up to verse 14. We're not going to go through the whole chapter here, but there are some important points here. And of course, you'll remember that the Lord was telling the disciples that Lazarus was dead, but they didn't get it, right? They didn't quite understand it. The Lord was speaking to them and telling them some things. But look at verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Amen? If you missed it before, I'm going to make it crystal clear. He's not sick. He's not going to recover. He's dead. And then notice what he says here, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now, wait a minute. Are they not believers already? Yes, they are believers already. So what did he want? What did the Lord want his disciples to believe? The glory of God, the power of God that changes lives. Amen? And by the way, if you'll take notice, he wanted everybody to take note of who he is, right? He's not just our Savior. He's not just the Messiah. He is our life. Amen? And so God wants us to get that crystal clear. They were having a little bit of a hard time with that. So Jesus says to them, plainly. And then notice what happens here in verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go. Let's follow the Lord. Let's be with him that we may die with him. Isn't that an interesting statement? Now, let me ask you this. Where in the world did Thomas come up with the idea that they were going to go and die with the Lord? Well, because they were after him, they were after the Lord, and they thought, well, he's going to put himself out in the open to go see Mary and Martha, and they're going to go after him, they're going to catch him, and they're going to catch us, so let's go with him, and we'll die. Look what he built up in his head. We're going there to die. Now, how in the world did he come up with that? Out of his own heart and his own mind, because Jesus never said that. Maybe he could have said this. Realize this. He could have asked the Lord, now, Lord, don't you think that maybe if you went there
they're going to come after you and they're going to kill you. He didn't even do that. Or he could have said this, Lord, we want to go with you. Are we going to die? He could have asked him, but he came to the complete wrong conclusion, as all the other disciples did when the Lord was trying to tell them about Lazarus' illness that was he was not going to recover. So the glory of God question, let me ask you this question. Did Jesus know, this is important, that he was going to raise Lazarus up from the dead? Absolutely. He knew that. That's why he told him. He says, I'm glad in verse 15 for your sakes that I was not there. Why? To the intent. Now he's telling us his intent, right? To the intent, notice, ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. So he says, I'm going to give you something that's going to strengthen your faith. I'm going to give you something that's going to enhance your relationship with me so that you understand that you can come to me with all of your trials, all of your troubles, and I will be there for you, right? But they didn't ask him any of these questions, and so it's important for us to ask some important questions. If God says to do these things, ask him the details. You know, they're in the book, amen? And God wants us to know how all these things work. All right, so number two, only God can give true comfort. So look at verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, and that's where the problem was. He was getting close to Jerusalem, and that was the concern of the disciples that they were going to get him, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to what? To comfort them, right? Concerning their brother. So they were coming there to comfort them, but guess who was really coming there to comfort them? The Lord Jesus Christ. They were getting ready. That family was getting ready to have their world enlightened like never before. And so he was coming there to bless them, but the Jews were there. And notice here in verse 20. And now here's what I want you to take notice. Here are the two sisters, Martha and Mary. And I want you to see what they're both. Remember, you remember Martha? She was the one that was cumbered about much serving. Where was Mary? At the feet of Jesus. And where was the best place to be? At the feet of Jesus. Amen. Be still and know that I'm God. So notice this verse here. Look at verse 20. Then Martha, remember, he shows up there. He's been dead now about 4 days. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary, what did she do? She sat still in the house, right? Boy, Martha is just, you know, it's a female version of Peter. Let's go. I'm ready. I don't know which way I'm going, but I'm going. Amen? And so she's not doing anything wrong, but she's just somebody who reacts quickly, right? And so in her reaction, she can miss some things. Now, going to Jesus is never a bad thing to do. Amen? That if you're going to go anywhere fast, go to Jesus. Amen? Go to Jesus in prayer. Go to the Lord through his word. Those are good places to be. So we're not condemning her for that. The only thing I'm pointing out is she's in a hurry. So we find here that only God can bring true comfort. The Lord's on the scene now. And now the Lord's timing, we want to consider, is always right. Now the Lord's on the scene, right? And so he's beginning to work. Actually, he's been working right along. He was working with his disciples. Now he's going to work with his disciples and specifically with Mary and Martha. So Mary sits still in the house. And notice what happens here in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus. Remember, she ran out to go meet him. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So what is she doing? I don't believe she's trying to be disrespectful at all. She's just saying, listen, I want you to know, I'm convinced you could have kept him from dying. But she never stopped and said, Lord, what's your plan? Lord, what are you doing? What are you wanting to do? And by the way, what are you wanting to do in my life? Oh no, she's got it in her mind. Lord, if you would have worked the way I think, this wouldn't have happened. But guess what? What happened was what God wanted to have happen. Amen. See, God's thoughts and our thoughts are not the same. We confuse that. We think God thinks like we think. Listen, God works 100% according to his word, not outside of his word. So if we practice something and it's outside of his word, it might be wrong. I didn't say it was wrong. It might be wrong. Amen. We might be getting in front of the Lord if we're not following him. And by the way, listen, if we make up doctrines, now we're in trouble, that are not in the word of God. We can find ourselves where the Pharisees were at, and we can become heretical. So we need to be careful that we're following the Lord according to his word, and that we're following the Lord in doctrine according to his word as well, that we're not conjuring up and making up 311 laws to have people to abide by that's not in the word of God. And so Martha's all excited, and she's telling the Lord, you know, Lord, had you been here? And maybe she thought she was... How would you say flattering the Lord or giving him a good compliment or whatever the case might be? I really think she was concerned about her brother. She was grieving over the loss of her brother. And she was just thinking, oh, Lord, had you been here, this could have been avoided. And so verse 22 says, but I know, listen to this. But I know, and let's see if she really does, right? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now listen. Martha's saved. Is the Lord working with Martha? Yes. Absolutely. Let's try that again. Is the Lord working with Martha? Yes. Amen. Now listen, what she said right there was the absolute truth. Amen. But she didn't even understand what she was saying. Amen. She didn't even understand what she was saying. She says, listen, verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Listen, because she was a child of God, God was working in her, and truth came out. Truth was coming out. Listen, so if God asked for Lazarus to be risen from the dead again, would he not be risen? But she didn't really believe that, did she? She said it, but didn't understand it. Okay? And so likewise also, it's in the word of God, and sometimes we can see it and know it and not really fully understand it. So look at verse 23. Notice what Jesus says to her. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. So let me ask you this question. What was Martha's concern when she approached the Lord? Was it not her brother's life? That's what it was. It was her brother's life. And she was saying that even now, God will give you whatever you ask for. That means you can ask. Remember, she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So what was she concerned about? The death of her brother. But she's saying, even now, so God will give you whatever. You mean even raising your brother from the dead? Now listen, just to be clear, and just to give her a little bit of clout here, I think I would have been in the same condition, same shoes, not understanding, you know, excited about the Lord, yet perplexed about the loss of my brother and concerned, right? So notice this, verse 22, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Wait a minute, he just said that after she said, the Lord just said that, after Martha said that I know that if you ask your heavenly Father, he'll give you whatever you want. You mean my brother's going to, you can raise my brother from the dead? But she doesn't say that. What does she do? Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So what's the problem? She's saying, not here. Not here in the last day. Not here. Now, what does the Lord say? What does the Lord say? Now, listen how the Lord works. He is telling her, I'm going to raise him today. But she's not picking up on it. So notice, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Is her brother dead? So he's telling, I want you to know, even though he's dead, he's going to rise. But she's got it at the last day. Are they on the same page? She's talking about the last day. When is Jesus talking about? Right now. In the present. Verse 25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Listen to this. Listen carefully. The Lord says, believest thou this? Do you believe this? We believe it, right? We see it from this side. But notice what she says now. What does the Lord just say? I'm the resurrection. Whoever believes in me is not going to die. He's going to live. Now, did he say anything? Did the Lord say anything about being the promised Messiah? Or did he say, I'm the resurrection? I'm the resurrection. Now watch what she says. Verse 27. Jesus saith, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Where'd it go? Listen. It's so important because God can say things to us, and unless we're in tune with the Lord, it will fly right over our heads. These disciples couldn't have had a better teacher concerning the Word of God. They had the Word of God themselves, right? Himself right there. And notice this, verse 28. Notice what she does. And when she had so said, remember, you're the Christ, she went her way and called Mary, listen, her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, I didn't pick up on that. He may have said that to her. I don't know. But she goes away, and secretly means you whisper in your ear. The Lord's looking for you. And so, how did she get that? How did she get that? So, she didn't even interact with the Lord. She goes to get her sister. Now, I'm convinced she wants her sister to be in the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is a great place to be. And that's where you find the truth. In the presence of the Lord. She's going to find the truth because she's in the presence of the Lord. And when we're in the presence of the Lord, and today we do that through prayer and through His Word, God will meet us there. And so notice this. So she goes to tell her sister secretly, in verse 28 again, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. So he was in that place where Martha met him, and Mary's still at the house, but now Martha goes to the house, whispers in her ear secretly, the Lord's calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. She was in a good place. She was waiting, and God called for her. When you wait on the Lord, when we wait on the Lord, we will hear the call of God. All right, so what happens here? Verse 31, the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. See, they didn't hear what Martha said to her. But they make this assumption, hey, listen, she's going to the grave to weep there. No, she was going to see the Lord. Amen? But they didn't understand that, so they missed it too. Verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Look at that. Where's she at? At the feet of the Lord. That's a great place to be. That was her place. And she knew it. That's the best place. To be at the feet. That's how you get things from the Lord. Be at his feet. You're right. That means you're in his presence. If you're at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the presence of God. And so here we find the Lord's timing again is always right. And then we're getting ready here to see, again, our obstacles. And what was that? Well, Mary's call, right? And then you saw Martha's concern. She was all worried about what was going to happen. And we'll see this here in just a minute. But so anyway, so it says verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Same thing Martha said. But she did not ask him, Lord, tell me what you're doing. Lord, show me what you're doing. But she didn't say that. She just kind of drew up her conclusions here. And we're not faulting her for that. We do that, don't we? We can draw conclusions. But we have to stop and say, God, what are you doing? When we don't understand things, when things don't go right, God, what are you doing? Because God's working. Listen, was God working in Joseph's life when his brothers sold him? Was God working when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him and he wound up in prison? Do you think it was a good idea for him to say, Lord, what are you doing? And do you think the Lord told him what he was doing? Remember when after Israel died, the brothers came to him and said, oh, listen, be merciful to us. And he with a broken heart was saying, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. How did he know that? Because he knew what God was doing. See, God wants us to know what he's doing so we can walk upright and not be offended at every little thing that happens, or we'll get washed out. You know, David could have had Abishai, if I'm not mistaken his name, kill King Saul and be done with it. And then he would have been king. I'm anointed king. But he would not put his hand against the Lord's anointed. You and I would have never done that unless we've been yielded to God's authority and God's delegated authority. Because he knew that he could not put his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. And I believe it was in Amalekite. I'm not sure, but remember when Saul was killed the Amalekite, I think it was an Amalekite, came and brought the crown and different things, you know, to David that was from Saul. And he said, he asked me to kill him, so I did. And what did David say? Out of your own mouth. And he didn't do it right away. He waited till the end of the day. And it was his life. See, listen, it's we will never, unless we understand God's authority, which Joseph did, which Daniel did, we will never see the working of God. And if we have no respect for the delegated authority, those who he's placed over us, we will not have any respect for God's authority either. And so we need to come to this place where we say, Lord, I trust you. Does he work out all things for our good? Absolutely he does. And so we need to come to, and by the way, listen, just for the record, we have to learn that. That is not natural. The natural thing for us to do is to fix it our way. Well, I'll take care of that. Let me just tell you what we'll do. We'll just delete that problem, won't we? And what would, if David would have done that, if Joseph would have done that and got even with his brothers, he would have never, listen, they would both have never seen the glory of God. How do we see the glory of God? Well, we be submissive to the Lord and trusting him. So notice what happens here. So verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping. So she's emotionally moved. And there's no problem with that. The Lord understood that. And so when the Jews were weeping and which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Was this genuine from the Lord? Absolutely. He feels our infirmities. And then it says, the Lord said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then the Bible tells us Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. They saw the love of God. They saw the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now, I don't know that there any of those were disciples of the Lord, but they didn't get it right either, did they? And neither will we unless we are pliable and submissive to the Lord. And that's what we should learn as we walk with him. Verse 38, and here's the Lord's glory as we pick up here. And Martha's concern, right? So Mary was saying the same thing Martha said, but notice this. So they're both there. Jesus said, take away the stone, verse 39. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. How do we believe? By taking the word of God literally. And saying, I'm going to obey the Lord in every area and not lean to my own understanding and say, oh, listen, I'm not going along with that one. Especially if it's in the Word of God. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the... By the way, listen, did you hear what she said? She said, if we take that stone away, man, it's going to knock us all out. He's been dead for 4 days. So was God Listen... God was already at work. Do you think there was a smell when they rolled the stone away? There was no smell. Because God was in... But see, when we lean to our own understanding, we think that what God's asking us to do stinks. When really, he's trying to bless us and show us his glory. So they took away, and Jesus lifted up, verse 41, lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. God wants to give us faith in him. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And here's the conclusion. Ready? Notice what happens here. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. You have two camps, don't you? And look at the last one. Verse 46, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You think that was a good report? No. The Pharisees did not like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were just telling him, and remember, they were just saying, what do we do about this guy? He's kind of ruining our power, when it's really about God. So tonight, God tells us, if thou wouldest believe all that he's given to us, we would see the glory of God. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, for your great mercy toward us and your grace, Lord, your long-suffering, your patience, and Lord, your willingness to guide us into the truth. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us a submissive spirit to your leadership and to your ways, Lord, and not our thinking, that you might be honored and glorified, and Lord, that we might see revival take place in our own lives, and that would spread throughout the whole community and out to the uttermost parts of the earth that you've called us to be witnesses to. So bless, as we break off for prayer, bless Northwood, bless all your churches, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.